it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Change has come to America.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
On a gray day in the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to a new America.
It's the one that's been bought and paid for.
By you, by me, and by our kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
If Jesus doesn't come back soon, many generations will be paying for this one.
Absolutely. Well, welcome. Today is March the 22nd,
2010. It's 3/22.
Yes. Which is, well, it's officially spring now. We've passed that
it's Skull and Bones Day.
That's right. I've forgotten about this. Skull and Bones Day.
Skull and Bones, the so-called secret society of Yale. The seniors are tapped as juniors, and, well, George W. Bush,
George H.W. Bush, yeah.
John Kerry, many bonesmen throughout government.
Throughout the ages.
Yeah, today's 3/22. And there, if you go to Facebook on my page, you will see that I have linked to a really interesting website where a gentleman explores the dollar code and how it relates to 3/22. It's a really interesting read.
Well, there are a lot of interesting things to talk about today. And, of course, you know that we didn't do a program over the weekend because we wanted to see how the how is it one Republican representative put it, the Kabuki theater that was taking place
yes.
in the House of Representatives over the weekend. We were sitting there watching, except for the time that I took to interview L.A. Marzulli yesterday, which was good. But we spent a good chunk of the day yesterday not watching the NCAA tournament, but instead watching C-SPAN. And boy, we long for the days when they were allowed to carry weapons and canes.
You know, back in the day.
I say that in jest, of course.
Back in the day in Congress, they'd be sitting there cleaning a knife on their, you know, the sole of their boot.
Yeah, that's back in the day when Indiana was considered the West.
Yeah, exactly. So. And now if someone shouts out, you know, any kind of a anything.
Anything, yeah, that's a hate crime. So.
Pretty well, much.
And of course, I'm joking when I say, you know, we long for the days of canings on the House floor. But
I would like to see it be – I actually think that they should be able to speak their minds. I like the way the House of Commons – works over in the UK.
It's a
shouting match.
Yep.
Now, even better is the Japanese parliament, where they literally have fist fights.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you see some of the condition of some of our representatives. I just don't think physically they'd
no,
be up to
they
it.
Couldn't so take
just,
it. But you know
just
what?
Wouldn't be too
there
important.
Were a few times yesterday that it nearly broke out in fist fights.
Tempers rose as the political theater played out, and of course you know that by now the House of Representatives did pass the Senate version of the healthcare reform bill.
And if that surprises you, well, I'm surprised because I have said all along this will eventually pass.
Right. There are too many interests vested in the success of this bill.
My question is, why was it delayed until – well, essentially the vernal equinox.
Well, that's a really
for
good
it
question.
To pass.
Why did they delay it until March? Because they've been working on this almost since Barack Obama took
it's
been
office. A year.
They delayed it until, I mean, they wanted to get it passed last August before the recess. They wanted to get it passed before Thanksgiving and then before Christmas. And then, you know, there have been all these deadlines. And somehow it suddenly became essential to call the representatives in for the weekend and essentially lock them in on a Saturday and a Sunday until they voted and kept voting until they got it right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. What was the special deal about getting that bill passed, as you say, on the vernal equinox?
Well, let's see. The vernal equinox is one of the high, one of eight, you know, Wiccan holidays or high holidays on the world calendar, on the year calendar. It's also known as Ostara.
Oh, okay.
Also known as Easter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a time for the rebirth, you might say, of the dying god. Yeah.
Which some skeptics would say it was the idea that was taken and adapted into the story of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah. Well, we talked about another one last week because we were talking about May 1st.
Beltane, right.
Right. Well, this is Ostara. Mm-hmm. Vernal equinox is a time when the goddess is filled with, you know, the spirit of the sun who's about to be born. And I think it's really, really interesting that right up until about the middle of last week, President Obama had planned to spend today in Indonesia. There had been an advance team that went over there. When a president visits another country, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of months and months and months of planning goes into effect. Much money is spent on the other end, even though Indonesia, for the most part, has been, well, frankly, rioting,
yeah,
saying they don't want him there. There are many others, probably businessmen and women, who felt that they would benefit from all of these Western people coming over there, staying in their hotels, buying their restaurant meals.
Mm-hmm.
And he canceled. While he was there, he had planned on visiting the Borobudur Temple, which is a temple of the Buddhist persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
And the Borobudur Temple has a really interesting stepped pyramid layout. Again, my Facebook site, I link to, if you just go to my page,
mm-hmm.
facebook.com/SharonKGilbert, you'll find that there's a person who, and I wish I knew the person who wrote this, but I couldn't find a name on this page. So please forgive me for not giving your name. But the insights are wonderful. I think the site is called Falling into Babylon or something like that. But the Borobudur Temple is essentially the way to get to godhood by traveling up the many levels.
Mm-hmm.
And you go past 400, and I think it's 425, which is almost the number of Congress.
Yeah.
I thought how interesting it is that we've got this number that's so similar to the number of congressional representatives, different Buddhas that you go past. And then on the very top levels, there are 72
Buddhas. 72.
72 Buddhas that are there to witness and help you achieve your godhood, because in the Holy of Holies at the very top, there is a ceremony that the king, incoming king would of Java, I assume,
mm-hmm.
go through to be inhabited by the spirit to become the Maitreya.
Oh, I see.
Huh? And you just read the article. It's really, really interesting. Well, Obama was supposed to visit that site today.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's the season of the vernal equinox, and that's a season. It's not, we think of it as one specific time and date,
mm-hmm.
but it's really sort of a season over a couple of days. And of course, today being 322, you can throw that skull and bones, you know, reference into the mix, and he canceled it. So I am not really sure if the healthcare debate is the real reason that he canceled, or if there's something that maybe he just didn't want to get involved in the rioting over in mm-hmm. Indonesia.
Could be a
Please
security
forgive me.
Issue.
Again, I'm struggling to talk. I'm seeing the doctor on Wednesday. The dentist couldn't help me. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a doctor on Wednesday. I don't know. I just find the timing so, so curious,
mm-hmm.
don't you? And the fact that the representative of healthcare is essentially the caduceus,
Yeah.
Which is a maypole with two snakes entwined around it. The staff of Hermes.
Right.
The representative represents Osiris in many ways. Again, the dying rebirth god.
Mm-hmm.
According to this website that I linked to, Borobudur, part of the ceremony involves a scepter, a staff, mm-hmm. very similar to the staff of Hermes, that is encrusted with gems and writing and has power. That is part of the ceremony. And the ceremony, when the king would go up there and become inhabited by the spirit, he looks toward the north. What did
toward
Satan
the north.
Say? I'm going to inhabit the throne of the north. Exactly. I'm going to be like the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
And he this king would bellow like a bull.
Interesting.
And proclaim himself Lord of the universe, Lord of the earth.
And President Obama, just kind of underscore the point, was going to go to this temple and was going to participate in this ceremony.
Well,
more or less?
I don't know that he was going to participate in that ceremony. It wasn't publicly announced that
okay,
he would.
Okay.
It's just curious that that's what that temple is associated with.
Yeah. Well, you know, why not? He carries a monkey god around his pocket. Why not?
So. Well, exactly. And Hanuman, the monkey god, is associated with this temple.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Now that I didn't know.
Yes, indeedy.
Well.
Yes, indeedy. And late last fall, just recently. Was it fall or was it early this year when the Dalai Lama was here,
mm-hmm.
sort of sneaked in the back door, ostensibly to avoid China's wrath,
mm-hmm.
and then sneaked out the back door again when he left? Well, rumors are that there had been a ceremony in, I think, November of last year. Again, this is in this article, so please forgive me. Don't have it in front of me. Where a representative of the tantric Buddhist cult that the Dalai Lama is head of,
mm-hmm.
Essentially removed a robe, a cloak, his mantle,
mm-hmm.
his authority from his own shoulders and placed it upon Obama. This is similar to something we see in the Old Testament where a new king is anointed or a new prophet is anointed.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really weird things going on, and I think the healthcare again, Caduceus, the May Day thing with mm-hmm. the maypole, there's high weirdness afoot.
Yeah, absolutely. Not the direction you thought this show was going to go when we started off talking about healthcare reform.
No, and the reason I bring this up is I know it feels like the world has fallen apart, and that's. Honestly, people, that's how you're supposed to feel.
Right, right.
Please don't fall into that trap of going down the, oh, America is doomed. We are all these guys, these Democrats. We mm-hmm. hate them. Please don't fall into that trap.
No, that is part of the dialectic that the enemy has tried to create. And I'd written a piece for HearkenTheWatchman.com, which is a site I'm honored to be a part of with guys like Dr. Chuck Missler and Bruce Collins, Lynn Marzulli, and others who are contributing to that site. And that was the point of the piece was that the United States really hasn't lived under the Constitution for quite some time. When the government wants to get around it, it finds a way. And you can find examples going way, way back. I mean, back mm-hmm. to the early part of the 19th century, to the Alien and Sedition Acts, to the some of the unconstitutional acts to suppress dissent during the War of 1812, which was when you look back in American history, we get this sense that our one rebellion was the Civil War. We had a number of them. I mean, when you think about it, the American Revolution was actually as much a civil war as it was anything else, because mm-hmm. a lot of people supported the English and preferred to remain a part of England.
Yeah, there were families torn apart.
Exactly.
By the war.
And in the War of 1812, there were sections along our northern border that would have just preferred to stay with Canada because most of their trade and commerce was conducted with their Canadian neighbors. So, you know, and of course, there was Shays Rebellion and the Whiskey Rebellion and a number of others. So this is... you know, rebellion is not something, you know, that only happened just that one time. And the United States government basically has taken upon itself whatever powers it felt necessary to get done, whatever it wanted to get done. And we're just seeing that again with the healthcare mm-hmm. legislation. The Congress and what's pit. Well, before we get into why that we feel that this is an unconstitutional abuse of power, the fact is that the powers that be would love to see Christians getting involved in the political process and turning our ministry into a political ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And there are quite a few evangelicals out there who've been doing this for quite some time. We talked about this with the May Day 2010 event coming up on Beltane in front of the pagan temple called the Lincoln Memorial. We've talked about this with other events that have taken place over the last couple of years, like The Call. When you get other ministries that are basically telling us that to vote for any political party other than Republican is antithetical to biblical truth, the enemy has already won the game. By believing that we can somehow win at this rigged game that the enemy has set up called secular politics is naive as betting your retirement on a spin of the roulette wheel in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Because the House always wins.
And literally, it
and
did
in
yesterday.
In this case, the House, the Democratic-controlled House wins. Now, that's not to say that Christians shouldn't participate in the political process or shouldn't take an interest in civic affairs,
especially locally.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel led to run for office, good on you. As long as you don't make the mistake that so many Christians have made throughout history, going all the way back to the church elders during the time of Constantine, who believed that by making deals to engage in the political power sharing, that you can somehow further the kingdom of God. That's not going to happen.
No, exactly. I mean, honestly, Jesus Christ was offered that deal. He turned
yes,
it down.
Right. And I think it's really significant, and we've said this before, and I just think it's so important to note that when Satan offered that deal, Jesus didn't rebuke him for exceeding his authority. He rebuked him for tempting mm-hmm. God, or trying to, but he did not rebuke him for saying, you don't have the power to make that deal.
No, Jesus Christ himself is going to, he's going to change the earth. He's going to take dominion.
Mm-hmm.
But the humans who are involved in something we've talked about quite a number of times, the dominionist movement, mm-hmm. believe that somehow God Almighty requires our preparation. We have to prep the earth somehow mm-hmm. before he is even able to come back. And that is ridiculous. He is going to come back in his timing, and he is going to judge the earth, and then he will set up his kingdom his way.
Yeah.
And the reason I want to bring up dominionism is because guess who is connected? I won't say a member of.
Yeah, they don't have a membership.
Connected to a group that we have discussed. In fact, you have interviewed Jeff Charlotte, mm-hmm. the expert on the family, who is a group that is definitely a dominionist-leaning, some call them cult.
Would we be correct in guessing that this is a congressman who's been the center of much attention over the last 72
yes.
hours?
In fact, a number of the congressmen who have been centers of attention. But indeed, Bart Stupak, up until just recently, was renting a room at the C Street House.
Now, C Street is where Mark Sanford, the governor of South Carolina,
uh-huh.
said that he was going for counseling after his affair became publicly known.
There have been a number of congressmen and a few congresswomen who are associated with C Street. I think they only have men living there.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been Hillary Clinton has been associated with the family in the past.
Was involved in a Bible study, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the
C Street. And is it Pitts? Is that the name of the other
congressman? I believe
congressman?
So.
the Stupak Pitts Amendment.
Yeah, Stupak
is
really
also involved with the C Street House. In fact, according to Rachel Maddow, who doesn't share my political philosophies in any way, shape, or form, but who has been doing some digging for her own reasons on the C Street House, has figured out that I think she said 7 or 8 mm-hmm. of the so-called 40 conscientious objectors, we'll call them that, in the Democratic Party, who had said they would vote no,
mm-hmm.
They're involved with the C Street House.
Yeah, and again, C Street is a is owned by the family, rather indirectly.
Well, through exactly.
Rather indirectly, Constance Cumby has done some amazing work in tracking the information through the tax returns, IRS documents that are available online for charitable organizations, and found the connections between C Street and the family and a number of other groups. And this is how she found out about the money funneled to the family or donated to the family by Paul N. Temple, who was co-founder of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which is the group that was prominently featured in Dan Brown's novel, The Lost Symbol.
Mm-hmm.
The Ions is a group that essentially, and I love the way Dr. Future puts it, is researching scientific ways to become possessed, trying to find scientific ways to contact the other side. So think about, high-tech Ouija boards is basically what they're trying to come up with. Anyway, so Constance Cumby has established C Street and the family are both under the direction and guidance of Doug Coe, who is mm-hmm. sort of the leader of this group. His son is now taking a very active role in guiding it. C Street does provide below market rent for a number of congressmen while they're in Washington, D.C.
Well below.
I mean, $600 a month to rent a one-bedroom place in D.C. I don't know what rents are going for there, but I mean, that wouldn't be that bad a rent here in Shelbyville.
Well, apparently the place has maid service.
Yes, yes.
I've rented a number of apartments in my time, and I can't think of any of them that came with free meals, maid service, and, essentially conference and party rooms that are part of the deal. And it's a $1.4 million building within walking distance of Congress.
Yeah, so it's a pretty sweet deal for the guys who are there. But while they're there, they engage in Bible study and other sorts of activities. But the question you have to ask when you're talking about, well, anyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and at the risk of sounding really narrow-minded, and you really have to ask what Jesus do they believe in? Which God do they serve?
Mm-hmm. Well, Stupak would say, I think he would probably argue that he believes in the same one you and I do. He calls himself a Catholic. But what is he being taught and what is he teaching? Because according to Rachel Maddow, mm-hmm. who interviewed Jeff Charlotte, so this is actually coming from Charlotte via the interview.
Right.
Stupak, even though he says he knows nothing about the family, is an insider with that organization, and mm-hmm. he was a mentor to some of the younger ones. He would actually have the Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
And Stupak may well, in fact, he's on record as saying, I'm a Catholic. I don't know anything about this organization. That house was listed as a church up until just recently.
Right. The family is labeled an evangelical Christian organization. The family is the sponsoring organization of the National Prayer Breakfast that the president presides over mm-hmm. every year. And President Obama's caught some flack from his liberal supporters for continuing the process. Essentially what it is, though, the National Prayer Breakfast, is an opportunity to get FaceTime with the president for a fee. Mm-hmm. Foreign leaders, foreign businessmen will come in and participate at this prayer breakfast in exchange for an opportunity to have a few words with, if not the president, then others that are close to the president. And the family would argue or suggest that it's worth this trade-off, this very Well, an approach worthy of the money changers in the temple, I would say, in order to influence them for good. Okay, they came here in order to secure a lucrative oil contract, let's say. But while they were here, they were exposed to prayer and the gospel. Were they really? Which gospel? According to Charlotte, and I'm quoting now from page 38 of the paperback edition of his book, and this is from a Bible study that Jeff Charlotte was a part of. And they were talking about, well, I don't know if you'd call it a Bible study, actually. The guy who was leading the study, David Coe, Doug Coe's son, talked about Genghis Khan. And, you know, and
well-known Christian.
Yeah, holding up Genghis Khan as an example, and relating Khan's practice of beheading the headmen, the leaders of the towns that he conquered, as a parable or an example, a metaphor, an analog of not being able to pour new wine into old wineskins. Out with the old, in with the new.
Regime change.
Yeah, regime change. So David Coe says, and I quote now, "That's the way everything in life happens. If you're a person known to be around Jesus, you can go and do anything. When you leave," and that's who you guys are, talking to the group that was at the house, not C Street, but I believe called the Cedars is where they had these mm-hmm. these young men who were being trained essentially to go out and take over the world. And continuing the quote now, "When you leave here, you're not only going to know the value of Jesus, you're going to know the people who rule the world. It's about vision. Get your vision straight, then relate. Talk to the people who rule the world and help them obey. Obey him." And it goes on from there. But again, the point is that not only do they hold up guys like Genghis Khan, but Doug Coe, in a clip that you can find on the internet if you search through YouTube, talks about Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong as examples. Jesus, apparently, the Jesus of the family, loves power because that's how you change the world. And that's what these guys who are part of the family, and that's why you find so many congressmen and senators on both sides of the aisle, predominantly Republicans, but some Democrats like Bart Stupak of Michigan, who are part of the family because they believe that they're on a mission from God to literally remake the world in his image through politics, through business. And I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. When you read the New Testament in context, Jesus says to go and make disciples of all nations. Preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You know, believe on him and be saved. That's the gospel. But these guys are like, hey, you've been chosen. And because you're chosen, just like King David could go out and, you know, rape Bathsheba. Well, not rape her, but I mean, you could take Bathsheba and have Uriah sent off basically to be murdered. And God's okay with that because David was chosen. In the same manner, you guys can go out and do whatever you need to do because you've been chosen. You can do whatever you want. Jesus respects power.
No, that's frightening.
That is frightening.
That's the spirit of Antichrist.
Right. This is the antithesis, 180 degrees opposed to, frankly, what's being taught in the madrasas, in the radical Islamic world. I mean, the radical Islamic imams are teaching essentially an opposing point of view. And it's no wonder that we're going to wind up with
Let me repeat what you just said, because I think I know where you're going with this. But
I didn't put it very well.
No, you didn't. It's a parallel teaching.
Okay,
I wouldn't call them directly.
Okay, let me rephrase that. It's a teaching that brings these two camps into opposition with one another.
Exactly. This is another Hegelian thing.
Dialectic. You're right. It is a parallel teaching that appears to be opposed.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said, with playing the political game, by turning your ministry into politics, simply by doing that, you've already lost.
Mm-hmm.
You've already lost the game. You know, Christians, we may think that, getting back to the healthcare bill, that we've lost our country, that somehow this is a defeat for us. But, you know, they're playing a game, and we as Christians are supposed to be playing a different game.
Exactly.
And sometimes we forget.
we have not lost what really matters. You know, as much as I love the United States of America, mm-hmm. as much as I thank the Lord that he put me here on this earth, because it's a place where I am free to say what I want to say, free to say what I believe, what I pray he wants me to say, because I could have been born anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love the United States of America, we are not the perfect country. Country is not the ultimate goal of a Christian. The kingdom,
mm-hmm.
lifting up the cross, pointing to Jesus Christ, you know, praying that the name of God is honored, that every knee will bow, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our home is elsewhere.
Right.
Our allegiance is elsewhere. Our earthly country may be going down the tubes. Well, that happened to the Israelites mm-hmm. in the Old Testament. Their country went down the tubes too. And that country was indeed, we know for a fact, set up by God, because he tells us himself
mm-hmm.
he set it up. But when humans got into the mix, they just messed it up.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. I mean, we are set up to be under a kingship headed by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that won't happen until he returns. This idea that some of us need to take control for him now and serve as his regents in the political realm is heresy.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of you may totally agree with what Derek and I are saying, and you're still afraid. I think that's understandable.
Absolutely.
You have families. You have, maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you're afraid you're going to lose your job. Maybe you have healthcare needs now that you're terrified aren't going to be covered anymore. Maybe you have genuine fears about what this legislation will do to your life and the lives of your children and your loved ones. But you need to trust in the Lord God Almighty. And he promises that he is going to take care of us. He's not allowing this testing to take place without knowing in advance mm-hmm. that you love him and what your needs are. He knows every bad thing that's going to happen to you. He knew it from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm. And knew all the bad choices and bad things.
That's the amazing thing for me.
He knew every sinful
thing I was going to do, and I've still got scads of them that I know I will do, and I pray that I won't do, but being the human that I am, I am sure there are plenty of them in my future.
Yeah.
And he still died for me.
Chose to die on the cross regardless, you know, knowing that in advance. That is really the remarkable
thing. He even knew before he created the universe that mankind would do all the things we've done, and he created us anyway.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Okay. Here's an example. Imagine you are Jeffrey Dahmer's parents.
Mm.
And when you are dating, you are given the information that if you get married and you have this child, he is going to be the serial killer, kill all of these people in these horrific ways, and cannibalize them.
Oh.
Do you go ahead and get married?
I'd say from a human perspective, the answer to that would be no.
No, you probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
God sees all of the things, even just a lie. They horrify him to the same extent that would horrify you.
Yeah.
If you saw your child in the future doing those things. And yet, he not only chose to create us and love us, he knew in advance he was going to have to do so much more than bail us out or pay for our lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to have to step to the plate and say, you know what? Blame me for all of it. In fact, punish me for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Kill me for all of it. I'll pay that price.
And even knowing that the vast majority of people would not even accept him then.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. And if the Lord God Almighty can do all of these things, do you really think that Nancy Pelosi bothers him?
That puts it into pretty sharp perspective right there. No. In fact, that...
It's like the buzzing of flies to him.
Yes. That's actually helpful to me because, as you know, I've been a political geek for a long time, mm-hmm. and still fall into that secular radio talk show mode that I was in when we were in Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And in part, that's why I was staying away from C-SPAN as much as I could yesterday, just because, you know, I'd watch for a few minutes and then start looking for a brick to throw at the television.
I know.
But you're right. And so let's just, you know, let's accept what's happened. We don't have to like it. I mean, it's clear that the Congress has voted a bill that's unconstitutional. I mean, the Constitution doesn't give Congress the power to tell us, to mandate that we have to buy a service.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the argument's made, well, you have to buy auto insurance to drive, but you can take the bus, you can ride your bike, you don't need to drive a car. That's a choice. On the other hand, if this bill actually goes into law, just for the privilege of drawing breath as an American citizen, you will need to buy medical insurance. That's unconstitutional, and
yeah.
There will be challenges to it. In fact, there's some, but I think there are some 40 states involved between the ones that have said they're going to sue the federal government and the ones who are going to just pass legislation protecting their citizens from prosecution, from protecting their citizens from the IRS. There's some 40 states involved that have already said we are not going to do this. Now, this leads to something else I wanted to talk about. Paul and Philip Collins have been writing for some time now about the balkanization of America, about wealthy elites who are funding both sides of arguments like immigration reform, which, by the way, I bet is next on the agenda.
Yes.
As soon as they get this, you know. That and cap and trade. They're going to ram this down the American public throat as well. There are wealthy groups that are funding and financing both the nationalist groups, patriot groups,
mm-hmm.
like the Minutemen,
mm-hmm.
But also making sure that groups like La Raza and other groups that favor immigration reform, Southern Poverty Law Center,
mm-hmm.
are also well-financed, and they put them at loggerheads with one another for the purpose of stirring up dissent, stirring up unrest, keeping us at each other's throats.
It's
for the
like
purpose of weakening
fighting.
Us. Yes, for the purpose of weakening us, because a house divided cannot stand.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to think in terms of us and them instead of stepping back and realizing that all those guys in Washington are them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Republicans, the Democrats. It's not red state, blue state. It's the them. And
right.
not even necessarily our congressmen who were up there. When you saw those people stepping up there, you could see a few who looked like professional political animals. But there were others.
Right.
You just get a sense as they were up there, you know, hey, that looks like, you know, the guy that, you know, I work with. Or that looks like a guy from church, you know, a little rumpled, a little ruffled,
mm-hmm.
hair's not quite, you know, not exactly the latest style cut or whatever. You know, she looks like a grandma. They look like people who are there just trying to represent their constituents. It's the people who are pulling their strings, the ones who are funding the campaigns, the special interest groups, the PACs, who are really the board of directors of America Incorporated,
mm-hmm.
who are calling the shots. And they want to keep this meme, this dialectic of us versus them going. And I suggest to you, and I'd like to claim this as original to me, but it's not. Wesley J. Smith posed this at his blog over the weekend, that one of the outcomes of this legislation is that America will be a house divided for years because of this bill, because
mm-hmm.
it's got Americans really upset.
Mm-hmm.
60% of us are cheesed, and the other 40% is cheesed that the 60% is cheesed. We are going to spend years, if not decades, in court over this
mm-hmm.
legislation. There will be constitutional challenges, and you'd better believe that special interest groups and activist groups on both sides, conservative, liberal, progressive, you know, patriot, will be fighting one another
mm-hmm.
over this legislation for years. The only winners, really, besides the healthcare industry, big pharma and the mm-hmm. insurance companies are the attorneys who are going to represent their interests in court.
Yes.
I mean, they're already dancing on tables and figuring up billable minutes on the back of martini napkins.
I agree with that. And I think those who are really pulling the strings internationally, not just humans, but also spirits.
Yep.
That are behind this, because that's why I brought in the pit bull analogy. That the dogs that are actually doing the fighting,
uh-huh.
they probably wouldn't fight, you know, outside the ring.
No.
If they weren't trained to do so, if they weren't encouraged to do so, and they'll fight to the death.
Right.
And the humans who are involved, who get them to fight each other, they're betting and making money and laughing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good analogy. And that's exactly what's happening here. So I would encourage you as a Christian, and I encourage you to remind me as a Christian, not to get caught up in this. I've already had a couple of emails from friends, you know, guys that I've known for years, you know, and knew years ago, who, you know, we've reconnected through the internet. Who have made comments and not unfriendly comments, but, you know, made a remark. Well, I know you're on the other side, or, you know, I know we see different. Well, no, we're not on the other side, because I would hope, and I know these guys well enough to know that what the side they're really on is on the side of what's best for the American people. Mm-hmm. But they self-identify with a particular political party. I have only recently realized in the last couple of years that the political parties are there to perpetuate this ongoing dialectic of us versus them. Pick a side, whatever side you're on, that's us. The other side, that's them.
The only sides involved here are the Lord's side and everybody else.
Right. And when you get caught up in the political game, it's really easy to forget that. Now, back to Bart Stupak. Which side is he on? It appeared to millions of Americans who really hold the value of human life as sacred,
mm-hmm.
they considered him a hero for standing up against the wishes of his political party and saying, I cannot in good conscience vote for this bill because it would permit federal financing of abortion. Well, big whoop, that's going on now. I mean, we send $350 million a year to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Now, I know the Hyde Amendment is supposed to prevent federal funding of abortions, but come on.
It doesn't.
Planned Parenthood is an abortion mill.
Yes.
I guess it's okay as long as the dollars that we send them, the federal checks, actually go to pay the light bill or something and mm-hmm. don't contribute to paying for the murders directly. But come on. I mean, that's a ruse that a 10-year-old can see through.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking earlier. I gave the example of a similar ruse that fraternities at the college I went to used. We were told, you can no longer sell alcohol. That's a violation of law. I mean, you know, fraternity house hold a party on a Friday night and you pay a $2 cover charge to get in. And the college correctly said, look, we're all going to get in trouble if you guys keep doing this. So what did the fraternities do? Instead of ceasing and desisting from the distribution of alcohol, we started selling plastic cups at the door.
Mm-hmm.
No cover charge, but here's your plastic cup, and you can't get any beer without a plastic cup. So it's the same thing that's what's happening to get around the Hyde Amendment. So Bart Stupak stands up. His group of conscientious objectors stand up. Millions of Americans who are pro-life hail him as a hero. In fact, he was going to be honored with an award called Defender of Life.
From the Susan B. Anthony Organization.
From the Susan B. Anthony Organization, right. And then over the weekend, he got what he needed from President Obama, which was not a guarantee that federal funds won't be used for abortion. What Representative Stupak got was political cover.
Yeah. Yes.
To vote the way he was going to vote anyway.
And to their credit, the SBA organization recognizes that.
Yeah.
Their dinner was scheduled for this Wednesday.
Right.
And they have now changed all of that. He was going to be a guest of honor.
Right.
He now has been, you know, the honor is no longer available for
right.
him. He's been stricken from their list.
This is the danger when you get involved as a Christian in this political situation. Because if what we've read about the strong arm tactics, well, and you can't even point a finger and say it's the Obama administration. Strong arm politics at that level is a given.
Mm.
It is a given. Representative Stupak did not, I assume, would not have wanted to be known for the rest of his life as the man who broke the spine of the Obama presidency, the man who put together a coalition that shot down President Obama's chance to pass signature legislation, historic legislation, mm-hmm. rather, on health care reform, something no other president has done, not on this scale. He didn't want to go down as that guy. And behind the scenes, he was probably told, if you do this, we will break you.
That's entirely possible. That's assuming that he was genuine when he was standing in the way.
Well, that's possible. It may be that he, like Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska, said, hey, this is an opportunity for me to get some real goodies for my... Mm-hmm. And that's where we come back to the connection to C Street. Was this simply an exercise, a masterful exercise in the application of political power? Because if these guys have learned the lessons of the family well, they use power, they accrue power, they take power under themselves to use it for the kingdom, and I put that in air quotes. And you do it by any means possible. I mean, mm-hmm. The family is an organization that holds up guys like Hitler and Mao and Stalin, Genghis Khan, as examples. Examples. Well, okay, their morals were, you know, not really where they needed to be, but this is the way you wield power, and that's what you have to do to get the job done for Jesus. No, it isn't. Sadly, people like Rachel Maddow of MSNBC and others, well, Jeff Charlotte even, to a degree, will not make a distinction between dominionists like mm-hmm. the family and Bible-believing Christians who look in the Bible and don't see any kind of a mandate from Jesus Christ to go forth and conquer the world with political action committees.
No. No, so don't despair. Don't despair.
Yeah.
First of all, the Lord loves you. He knows what's going on. He is in control. He truly is. So what I think we can do is continue to do our best to pray for this country,
mm-hmm.
pray for the people who are in government, pray for, frankly, that they would seek out Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ,
right.
That they would have a true change of heart. And that we would become truly a nation that loves the Lord God Almighty, King of the universe, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could really become that? Now, that may never be part of God's plan. Abraham prayed that Sodom and Gomorrah would be spared if only there were enough righteous people there.
Even 10, yeah.
Yeah, and there just weren't enough. And mm-hmm. God... You know, he said, I'm sorry, they're goners.
Yeah.
But I will get these people out for you because I know they mean a lot to you. And you're right. They do. Even though they're in the midst of a compromised situation, I know their hearts. Now, you can argue whether or not Lot and his family really were dedicated believers, but God wouldn't have pulled them out of there if he hadn't believed that they really did love him deep down.
Yeah.
Or at least Lot. Now, I believe that he will preserve his people, the people who truly love him. He is going to keep us through this. It doesn't mean we'll come out unscarred or unscathed. We may get bruised. We may get battered. But he will carry us on his shoulders through to the very end, and one day soon, and it may be today, he will come and take us to be his bride in what you and I often call the rapture, because mm-hmm. it's technically based on the Latin word rapture,
mm-hmm.
which means to snatch away. And I've talked before about the fire that recently happened with my sister and my brother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
and God literally snatched them out of that house. I mean, practically with his own hand, grabbed them out of bed, mm-hmm. and he will do that for us. He knows what's coming. He'll take care of you.
Yeah. So while we share your distress over the direction that this nation has taken. I mean, certainly there are prophetic implications in this that can't be ignored. It's just one step closer to that, you know, one world government that we see the enemy setting up and looking toward. But it's no surprise. Again, if Satan was not exceeding his authority by offering all the kingdoms of the earth to Jesus, which he showed Jesus all of them in a moment's time, then even the United States of America, this country that we would like to believe is a Christian nation, even the United States of the United States of America is a government, a nation that is under the enemy's domain. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we see things like this happening. But as Jesus said, when we see these signs, look up.
Amen.
Look up. Don't look around to see how we can fix things.
Exactly. Look up, because your redemption is near. It draweth nigh. Amen. Well, I was just going to say, you know what? Those who weren't paying attention during the inauguration should have seen this coming. I mean, one of the songs, and when they started singing it, I looked at you and I said, excuse me, but why are they singing Bye Bye, Miss American Pie?
Yeah. Yeah, that was really bizarre, wasn't it? Well, anyway, it's just, you know, another day. Another day. And as Christians, again, it's easy to look at it and fall into the us versus them trap. But don't get pulled in, because once we get into that political us versus them game, we've already taken our eye off the real prize. So some other interesting things. There was a picture that was posted by Mike Heiser, in fact, linked to it from UFO. I think it was UFO Digest, not UFO Digest. Anyway, he linked to it at his blog. A couple of pictures taken from Greenville, South Carolina, that appear to show a triangular-shaped, unidentified craft. It was a week ago Tuesday, the 16th of March.
Your mother lives there.
Yeah, and so does my sister.
You have to ask them if there's anything in the local paper.
Well, I did, and Sandy said no. Nothing in the local paper. The photo was taken, assuming that the data from the camera was correct, just after 8 p.m. local time in South Carolina. That's GMT minus 5. And my sister said, yeah, it looked like it was about right in terms of the degree of illumination outside. Because to me, it looked as though the pictures, the sky was a little bit bright for 8 o'clock at night. But you can adjust that with Photoshop afterwards if you want. The picture appears to be genuine. The question is, what is a genuine picture of? And there are some who've suggested that this was actually just a triangular-shaped radio-controlled model plane. And it may be significant that this same witness has apparently taken pictures of the same type of triangular-shaped craft three or four times in the last 2 years. So either Greenville, South Carolina is on the flight path of something strange, or who knows, it could be a drone. There was that story out of Houston a couple of months back about Houston getting ready to fly
police.
Drones. The police operating drones to keep watch over the populace. So it could be that, or again, it could be something genuine. Don't know.
Well, we also talked last week about some snow that was multicolored in various parts of the world.
Pink, brown.
There was a story this week that I put up at PID News about a sandstorm in China that the sand was orange colored. Now, this may simply be some sort of odd mix of metals or other, you know, components within the sand. Or it could be, you know, chemtrails. I don't know. I just think it's really interesting that we've had multicolored weather.
It is odd.
And in fact, one of the phone calls we had, and we'll get to those in just a minute, to our Skype line was a gentleman who was asking if we thought perhaps HAARP was behind some of the odd weather patterns lately. And I'd say that maybe, you know, it's definitely HAARP is doing something.
Yeah, and speaking of HAARP, there was a passing recently that we should take note of. I did post a note to it on my blog a week or so ago, but just a few weeks back, Jerry E. Smith passed away. Jerry E. Smith was the author of a book, HAARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. He also oh gosh, a couple of other books. What was the other one that Weather Wars. That's right. Weather Wars, the military's plan to draft Mother Nature. Jerry E. Smith was a longtime researcher into conspiracies and the paranormal. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity, well, we interviewed him a couple of times, and I interviewed him on the air in Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away on March the 8th of 2010. And so the world of the conspiracy researchers have lost a leading light. He was he'd been at it for quite a long mm-hmm. time. And again, we just wanted to acknowledge his passing and thank him for the time that he graciously gave us here on PID Radio over the years.
Well, you know, I don't know what the condition of his heart was with regard to the Lord. I'm not so sure that our worldviews were exactly the same, but I pray he's with the Lord. I pray that worked out.
Well, regret
out.
His passing. He was always very
absolutely
very courteous to us, very friendly. We liked him, and
he was. He really was.
You may not have agreed with his views regarding HAARP and weather wars, but he certainly was an out of the box thinker, and that's the only way to be in this world.
You know, it is really a difficult place to be to claim Jesus Christ as your Savior in this world, and at the same time talk about UFOs, demons, and conspiracy theories.
Yes, that's
as
true.
As many of our listeners well know. But they really do go hand in hand, and I think that Scripture explains many of these phenomena.
Yeah, exactly right. One of the things that talked about with Lynn Marzulli in the interview this week on View from the Bunker is, as a Christian, sadly that so many Christians are so poorly grounded in their worldview and in the reasons for their faith, that the appearance of a UFO would totally knock them off their foundation.
In fact, you and I have been watching Children of Earth.
Yes, which is a miniseries produced by the BBC, mm-hmm. a spinoff from the Doctor Who franchise.
Right. There are 5 one-hour episodes. We've watched the first two. So we haven't seen it all. Don't spoil it for us. We haven't seen it all yet, if you've seen it. But there's a character in the first show who talks about how he was talking with a young girl
mm-hmm.
who was a Christian, and she had committed suicide. She was going to commit suicide. In fact, I think it was in her suicide note,
right,
that she said she couldn't live anymore because all the aliens – you know, all of, in the Doctor Who world, which is connected with the Torchwood world, aliens have become commonplace.
Right.
Almost. And she couldn't deal with it. Her worldview had been shattered.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the setup.
Right.
That when the great unveiling mm-hmm. happens, and it may well be that the Antichrist comes in and says, you know what? We're the ones who, panspermia, that's how you got here.
Right.
You're created in our image.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, you know, gods or angels. We're from this planet here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we're better than you are because you're our children, which means you have to obey us now.
Yeah, it's the Anunnaki, the Zechariah Sitchin, the ancient astronaut theory, Eric von Däniken, you know, chariots of the gods and so forth. And it's a bunch of hooey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we so respect Michael Heiser, because he can go back to the original Hebrew and the language and say, you know what? When it says here that God created man in his image, what this really says when you study the Hebrew is that it means mankind was set up as, in a sense, his regent, his representatives on mm-hmm. earth to have dominion over the earth in the same way that God has dominion over the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That
doesn't mean become a dominionist.
No, and nor does it mean that we will have the opportunity to become gods on our own planets.
No,
at some
because
point in
we
the future.
Forfeited that.
Exactly.
In the garden.
Exactly. That ship sailed.
Right. Taking it back by force is not God's plan.
Jesus is going to take it back by force when
exactly.
he returns.
Exactly.
Right.
He's the Redeemer, which means that plot of land, the earth, he's buying it back. He bought it with his blood.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because dominionists will use that section mm-hmm. from Genesis where God tells Adam to go forth and, you know, take dominion
mm-hmm.
As their justification for doing it with arms and might and, you know, so forth. That's not what that means. But what it does do is it opens up the possibility that there are other worlds out there with other beings that have essentially been created in God's image, in other words, to serve as his representatives or as his agents on other worlds. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that evidence yet, but the possibility is there. So if you understand that, then as a Christian, the appearance of a giant triangular-shaped craft over, you know, the Devil's Mountain in Utah or wherever that Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind thing was, or Third Kind, or over the White House or whatever, it shouldn't shake your worldview. It should not cause you to question God.
These are manifestations of the spiritual battle that's going on. So when these things happen, again, rejoice.
Look up, for your redemption draws
near.
Amen. Well, we had some very interesting calls. Our 24/7 Skype line, it's essentially just a voicemail that's set up to take your calls.
Yeah, we only check that line once a week. So, you know, if you need to reach us and you need an immediate reply, honestly, the best way to get a fast reply from me is send me a message, private message on Facebook, because my inbox in my own email account is I get hundreds of messages a day. Most of them are spam. And for me to find your message, and some go to the junk mail folder, and I don't find them for days. So if you need an immediate answer, please contact me on Facebook. You're going to find me fastest that way.
That number, by the way, is and you'll find it at the website, PIDradio.com, is country code 1-317-489-9350. And as Sharon said, we check it about once a week just before we go on to talk. You
but
know,
I'm
before
on
we
Facebook,
record the program.
You know, at various times all throughout the day. And again, I do check my email all day long, but it gets so choked with stuff that has no business being in there. You know, I don't need enhancement that way. I really don't. I've lived this long without it.
I used to work for a fellow who said, "Has somebody been talking to my wife?" Anyway, we got a call from Dean last week who, not Dean in the UK, although we did get email from him.
Where are the eggs?
Yes. Dean pointed out correctly that when I posted last week's show notes, I managed to bungle the code for the actual MP3 file. So that was fixed within a matter of hours, but Dean is correct. I bungled that. Ken from Surrey in BC called. He had a question that we will respond to off the air, Ken. I'll give you a call later this evening. Cindy in Tampa pointed out something very interesting as we were talking about, I talked with Christopher Knowles about the
St.
Patrick and Osiris connection and the number 17 and its occult significance, and of course 317 being the St. Patrick's Day and also the traditional date of the death of Osiris. She mentioned that the Air Force Academy's chapel has 17 steeples.
That's bizarre. Why would you need 17 steeples?
Lots of peoples inside when you,
you know, you do the, here's the door. That's a good one, honey.
We also heard from Jeff in Beaverton, Oregon, who talked about the Associates for Biblical Research. And Jeff actually had been a regular at their website. Haven't been back there in a while, but I do know that they do some excellent work on the archaeological foundations of the faith, proving that the Bible is true through archaeology. Mm-hmm. It's really a wonderful site. And he also recommended Gary Bates as a potential guest.
Yeah.
And that would be an excellent suggestion. I've heard Gary Bates talk about young earth creationism.
Yeah. Also, we got a phone call from, I think her name was Francesca.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think she was actually trying to reach Rick Wiles.
Yeah.
So, Francesca, if you're listening to this now, please, and if we can, we'll try to reach you back. But, you know, we'll be happy to put you in contact with Mr. Wiles.
Yeah.
If that's the person you really want to talk to.
So, yeah, that was a crossed wire there.
He doesn't live here.
No.
I'm not seeing him anywhere in the house. Great guy. He'd be welcome here. But
been a while since we've spoken with him, too. So, And coming up April 23rd and 24th, I want to make a note that in the show notes for the last few weeks, I've been posting information about the Last Days Conference coming up in Nashville. And we've got a banner linking to the website for the Last Days Conference at PIDradio.com.
And at PID News.
And at PID News. So the banner has the dates correct. The notes that I'd been posting to the internet in our show notes was wrong. I've been saying the 24th and 25th, which is a Saturday, Sunday. The conference is actually Friday and Saturday, the 23rd and 24th of April. So, and besides, Lynn
have
Marzulli,
you taken off the days you need to take off?
Yes, I
want to check that.
I have. Russ Dizdar, Lynn Marzulli, Joe Jordan, Guy Malone, Chris White, Mike Tater, and Dr. Michael Bennett, a.k.a. Tom Bionic, and Dr. Future from the Future Quake Show. And I'm looking forward to getting a picture of the Future Mobile with all of those familiar faces on the side.
That's right.
Yeah, bring that back with us. If you have comments for us, again, we gave you the number. You can also send email to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
With the understanding that, you know, yes, when I look at my inbox, radio@peeringintodarkness.com, at any given day might have 100 new messages in it.
I've got a better spam filter, so.
I had a better filter when I was using a Mac.
Yes.
If you'd like to donate to the Buy Sharon a New Mac account. I have to use a Windows machine now.
Well, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. And by the way, Sam says hello. And he appreciates all your cards and letters. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon. To get us out of here. Forget about the former days and living in the